League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Extra time.
Hello, Football Daily, and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast, where we've got a bit of a continental club twist on the occasion, as today I'm joined by Doogie Critchley and Mikey McCubbin. Doogie, it is a uncharacteristically nice day out there today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'm looking forward to this podcast. We're doing a sort of historical look. I'll let you explain what we're doing in a second. I'm a little bit worried because I feel like post-COVID, my sort of year identification is all sort of blurred into one. It all feels like one big mush in my brain right now. But I'm looking forward to a little review of Ballon d'Or's past on this episode.
Exactly. Mikey, how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad. Likewise, I'm looking forward to getting stuck into some kind of historical debate on the ultimate prize in football, the Ballon d'Or. I don't know whether the nominations are out for the latest one.
All right.
They are out. Okay, sweet. Well, I don't know, maybe we can get onto that one as well at some point. I'm fully backing Jorginho just for the lols.
Come on.
That would be a crime to football. Mason Mount, front runner though. I mean, he's in the picking as well, which goes to support my point, which I said on Team Talk, which if you haven't watched already, go check it out, that Mason Mount is the best under 23 English player right now. He's just been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Will he win it? Probably not, but let's see. Anyway, as you two have alluded to, what we're going to do today, before we do something a little bit different, is look back at all the years of the Ballon d'Or where either Messi or Ronaldo won and decide who would have won it if neither of the two sort of goats of the game didn't exist. Okay, so we're going to start in 2008, work our way through, ignore the year Luka Modric actually won the award and see who we reckon would have come out on top if they weren't around. So our story essentially starts in 2007. That's when Ronaldo and Messi kind of enter the scene, but they're beaten to the Ballon d'Or by Kaká. 2008, though, is when Ronaldo takes his first sort of crown, with Messi coming second. And then in third place, we've got Fernando Torres. Doogie, kick us off. Who do you reckon it'd be? Because in fourth, we've got Iker Casillas, Xavi, Andre R. Chavin. What a throwback there. And then we've got David Villa, Ibrahimovic, Kaká and Steven Gerrard. I've put the top 10 in. It will differ depending on how relevant I reckon it is. But Doogie, where do you reckon we start on this one?
Well, shout out R. Chavin. He was really, really good at that time for Zenit. Helped them win the UEFA Cup. He scored twice at the Euros as Russia surprised everyone, reaching the semi-finals, playing a really entertaining brand of football as well. Earned that big money move to Arsenal, which I remember reading about in The Athletic about a year ago. Fascinating background to that story and that move. So please go check that out as well. That was really well written, I seem to remember. As well, but I think this one's quite simple actually. I think it's got to be Fernando Torres, to be totally honest. He was absolutely phenomenal that year for Liverpool, 33 goals in 46 appearances for them in his first season in English football. He was in the PFA Team of the Year, also scored the winning goal in the Euro 2008 final against Germany. So, yeah, I think Fernando Torres was lightning quick back then, his finishing was razor sharp. He was playing at the top of his game, arguably, and for a fairly experienced player at that stage, but not so much in England, he'd really lit it up that year, and Liverpool was so entertaining to watch. I think that was the year he destroyed Vidic and Ferdinand in that 4-1 win at Old Trafford as well. He was frightening that year, and I think he would have been a deserved candidate if it hadn't gone to Ronaldo, but for this year, obviously, you know, we're doing if Ronaldo and Messi hadn't existed. But this was one of the strongest years in terms of a Ronaldo win, I think. I think Ronaldo was absolutely phenomenal that year at Man United.
Yeah.
But yeah, if him and Messi didn't exist, Torres was my man, I think.
I mean, Mikey, I think this is something we might touch upon a few times, which is this kind of bias against goalkeepers. We've actually seen Keylor Navas come out this week and say that goalkeepers should have a separate... award, Ballon d'Or award, because they'll never ever be able to compete in the same light as sort of strikers with goal and assists numbers. I mean, there is obviously the Levi Yashin trophy, which they can win, but maybe that's not enough in this grand scheme, because Iker Casillas, you know, captains Spain to the Euros that year as well, wins the Zamora Award for the lowest goals conceded, goals to game ratio in the La Liga, and you know, enters UEFA Team of the Year. Also won La Liga as well, we should add as well. I mean, this is Casillas at his pomp, really, wasn't it? He's finished like 40 votes behind Torres. Do you not think he has an argument for this one?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I think Torres is still clear of him. Casillas had a I mean, he was pretty brilliant, wasn't he? Like every year for Real. I think I can't even think of how many Zamora trophies he would have won in his career. But what I was actually more surprised about is in that top 10, you've got, okay, Torres very deserving there, but you don't have any Chelsea players in there, despite them reaching the Champions League final and coming second in the league. And yet you've got Steven Gerrard in there, who was at a great point in his career. But I don't know in terms of success how brilliant he was that year. Liverpool didn't really get near the Premier League that season. They went out in the Champions League semi-finals, I think. So you don't have anyone from Chelsea there. And aside from Ronaldo, you don't have anyone from Man United there, despite them winning the Premier League and the Champions League. And actually, I think more so than Casillas, you can argue about who had the better career, probably Casillas. But Edwin van der Sar probably had the season of his life for Man United. You know, he saved the penalty in the Champions League final, penalty shootout. I think he only conceded something like 21, 22 goals, which was like still a record in Man United history in the Premier League. I think it was the following season that he set that record for consecutive clean sheets, was something like 14 in the Prem. So I think that's, for me, that's the bigger injustice, that he didn't even make the top 10. You know, probably the best goalkeeper in the world that season, at least. But yeah, I think Fernando Torres takes it. Like, I think just his goal record, and then the role he played in the Euros, he was absolutely on fire that European Championships. I think you could argue maybe David Villa deserves to be a bit higher as well, because he was so good as well.
Yeah,
that whole Spain team were just excellent, weren't they? So yeah, I think I'm in agreement with Dukes on this. I'm going to go Torres.
All right. Torres it is. What I love about this is it's like a sort of condensed version of Premier League years, isn't it? A visual guide, audio guide, as we work our way through. All right, Torres it is, taking our first Ballon d'Or. Let's move on to 2009 then. Messi sort of flips the script on Ronaldo in this case. But really, this is where kind of the Xavi and Iniesta show takes hold once more. We're talking about Barcelona under Guardiola in this period. It's almost too close to call sometimes between Xavi and Iniesta. In this occasion, they've put Xavi third and Eto, I think that needs to be mentioned, fifth. Let's bear in mind that Eto scores 30 in 36 La Liga games this season, 36 in all competitions. It's not even enough to be in UEFA's Team of the Year or African Player of the Year. I'd love to know who took it in his place. And he sold to Inter Milan the next year. Anyway, also, you know, scores in that Champions League final where they beat Manchester United at the Stadio Olimpico. Doogie, I will have this debate a few times, but in this year, was Xavi above Iniesta?
Yeah, I think quickly before I get onto that, I think Eto's definitely worth a shout. And in 2006 as well, I think he was pretty unlucky not to be closer to Cannavaro, who eventually won it. Although nice to see a defender won it, win it that year, of course, and who obviously performed so well at that World Cup as well. So maybe 2006 was less controversial. But I think there is an argument that some African players particularly have been overlooked, particularly in this era. Like Drogba never got particularly close. Eto didn't get particularly close as well. Mane in 2019 has a pretty good case, as we'll get onto in due course, if Messi didn't exist, that is, at least. But yeah, in terms of Xavi versus Iniesta for this year, it's difficult to remember too many specifics, but I think Xavi definitely deserves a Ballon d'Or at various points throughout his career. Between 2008 and 2012, he was probably at the top of his game, really. So I could pick kind of any of those years if Messi and Ronaldo didn't exist. But yeah, he scored 10 goals in 54 appearances that year, which is really, really high for Xavi, to be honest. Won La Liga and the Champions League. I think at this stage, it was slightly before Iniesta really got into his stride. I think 2010 was the year that Iniesta really came alive. I'd probably go Xavi this year, but it's a coin toss. I thought they were both brilliant in this era. And Xavi would have been a worthy winner or Iniesta, but I think at this time I'm just going to go with Xavi.
I mean, McCubbin, for people who perhaps didn't get to see Xavi and Iniesta side by side, like, how do you separate those two as players? Because stylistically fairly similar, both operate around that 90%, 95% pass accuracy, both unbelievably creative. Like, how do you actually differentiate? Because that's probably the hardest thing when it comes to these two. Because we saw Rooney call Iniesta the best player in the world after that Champions League final. I think he laid on an assist there. What's your take on the difference between the two?
I think Iniesta, for me anyway, I love Iniesta. Like he's up there with my favourite players ever, if not my favourite. Like I just think he's the better one to watch from the untrained eye, and my eyes are pretty untrained. I think like he's just a joy in terms of like going past players, in terms of kind of, you know, bringing that kind of excitement and linking that midfield and attack. I think Iniesta is the one that I loved watching more. But equally, I think Xavi did everything else. Like, Xavi was the metronome. He was also, at times, a better creator. He was a better finisher, actually, than Iniesta. I feel like, especially towards the end of his Barca career, a lot of fans kind of joked about how Iniesta could pick the perfect pass, but just couldn't finish. So, like, I think Xavi was the more well-rounded player, for sure. And I think in 2009, I do agree with Dukes. I think he was better. Maybe not necessarily that season, but I think Xavi had been like a world-class midfielder for about 2 or 3 years before this time already. And it was just Pep Guardiola building a team which was basic, kind of built around him and Messi, really. And in particular around him and the way that he played. So I think in that sense, that kind of Guardiola revolution that we saw in 2008-09, I think Xavi was the kind of epitome of it in many ways. And for that reason, I think I would go with him. But I would go with Iniesta. We'll get onto it. But I would go with Iniesta for 2010 for obvious reasons. But yeah, I'll go with Xavi again.
Hmm. All right.
Sorry not to give you more debate here boys. But
No. I just I really feel like Eto got really hard done by in this situation. It's not even... to receive less than half the votes for Xavi in this vote. I mean, I know
also scored in the Champions League final as well, didn't he?
And to get sold afterwards.
Yeah. That was the biggest. I was actually in Spain when Eto got sold and Ibra came in, and it was like looking at like the Mundo Deportivo like front pages about how they were bigging up the move, and just like I was pretty young at the time, but it just made no sense at all, didn't it? They broke the bank and gave them Eto for Ibrahimovic, who was brilliant, but just like wasn't on the level, for me, wasn't on the level of Eto at the time. It was criminal, really.
Yeah, completely different player, and quite clearly not to the liking of Guardiola. Eto's had such a weird end to his career, hasn't he? Sort of, for someone that hit the incredible heights he has, to have bounced around sort of these various clubs and Turkey, etc., makes no sense. Anyway,
he's still pretty good at Chelsea in that brief spell.
Exactly, very true.
He had to get to United, didn't he?
Good memories all round. Xavi takes it for 2009. Right, 2010. I think this is a great year. This is a great year for football.
This is contentious, I reckon.
Ooh, obviously.
I've just had a look at it. I was going to say, I'll go with Iniesta, but actually, no, it's much more difficult than that.
So, for context, everyone, Ronaldo doesn't even feature in the top sort of six in our rankings here. Messi comes first with 22.65% of the vote. Iniesta 17.36, Xavi 16.48, and then Wesley Schneider comes in fourth with 14.48. Even Diego Forlan in fifth, the great Uruguayan, gets 7.61%. This is about as close. This is of all the years we'll go through. This is probably top three in terms of how close it was that season. I'm laying down my marker now. Schneider for me. Schneider deserved this, and I think it's slightly to come fourth. Yes, Spain win the World Cup with arguably sort of the greatest national side you'll ever seen, but I think Schneider's individual performances this season, which I'll get onto in a minute, were unparalleled. And I think, I don't know what else he could have done other than win the World Cup final, where he came second in like the for player of the tournament behind Forlan, who came fifth. I don't know what else he could have done. Anyway, McCubbin, you kick off this time. What's your thoughts on this? Because you just said Iniesta. I still think Schneider.
Yeah, I forgot about Schneider. Schneider, like, the thing is, I think if this Ballon d'Or had taken... If the Ballon d'Or had been thought about in the way it is now, I think, the way that it's voted for, in 2010, I think Schneider pushes hard, and I don't think Messi gets anywhere near it. I think just because Messi, I think that season would have only won a La Liga. I don't even think they won the Copa del Rey that year. And so, obviously, yeah, Iniesta and Xavi win the World Cup. I think, again, Casillas should probably be in and amongst it. I thought he was superb that tournament. You know, they basically didn't concede, did they, in the knockout stages. So that's a shout. And also, actually, Casillas, arguably the match winner in the final as well, thinking about it, that save off Robin. But yeah, Schneider... I think Schneider wins it if it's voted for today, but just because they won the treble, he gets to the World Cup final as well. You know, 6 assists in the Champions League. To be honest, I didn't watch much Inter Milan that year, or if I did, I don't remember much of it. But I seem to remember him being pretty amazing in the final against Bayern Munich. And that was actually quite, you know, a fairly underrated Bayern Munich side, I think, under Louis van Gaal as well. Obviously, was part of that masterclass, that Mourinho masterclass against Barcelona in the semi-finals. Where I think did they beat them 3-1 at the Camp Nou or 3-1 at the San Siro? Just looking at your notes here, Henry, 4 man of the matches at the World Cup. Ridiculous. And also, yeah, sorry, it's just coming into my mind now. Another masterclass against Brazil, I think, in the quarterfinals, where the Netherlands just kind of completely tactically outdid them. So, yeah. Oh man, I might just go. You know what? I'm going to go with Iniesta because he scored in the World Cup. He scored the winner in the World Cup final, and I just want a bit of a debate. I just want to kind of go I've agreed with the last two, but Schneider or Iniesta for me, it has to be.
Just quickly, McCubbin, can you just elaborate on what you mean by how the voting system has changed and like the preference towards...
Well, I just think it's basically whoever wins the Champions League, isn't it?
I completely agree with McCubbin.
You have to win one of the Champions League or like the major international tournament that year to win it, pretty much. Unless you're like Messi and Ronaldo, obviously, is different. But like, I think, you know, Luka Modric in 2018, that wasn't necessarily his best year. But like, because he got Croatia to the World Cup final, because he won the Champions League, again, not Real Madrid's most impressive Champions League win. That's why he took it, and I think they just fancied a bit of a break from Ronaldo and Messi. Like, I think that's why. And now it's like, yeah, like when we look at it this year, it's like has over the last 12 months, has N'Golo Kanté been like the best player in the world? I don't think so. But Chelsea won the Champions League. You know, France didn't even do that well at the Euro, but like Chelsea winning the Champions League is a massive thing for that. And then like Italy winning the Euros is a massive thing for like say Jorginho, that's why I think tournament football has a lot more bearing on it now.
All right, well, Jigs, if we bring it back to 2010, you were saying you agree with McCubbin. What, you're going for Iniesta then?
No, sorry, I agree with McCubbin that they've clearly changed policy, because you know Messi was the golden boot winner in 2010, but Argentina were really pretty poor at the 2010 World Cup. I think they got knocked out in the quarterfinals by Germany. I think it was 4-0, so they got absolutely thrashed. But yeah, there was a clear point in the mid part of the last decade where the people that arrange Ballon d'Ors and vote for Ballon d'Ors and the whole noise around the Ballon d'Or changed from who is actually being the best player this season and who is the best player in the world to who has won the most competitions. Like, Jorginho has never been Chelsea's best player, and yet on the basis of winning two massive tournaments, it's got to be said, he's now in the discussion for Ballon d'Or. Like, it's just changed tack completely. And it kind of sort of takes away from the specialness of the Ballon d'Or, for want of a better word. So, yeah, I'm totally against this change to whoever's been involved in the most important trophy wins the Ballon d'Or. But in terms of this, I actually disagree with McCubbs. Yes, the story around Iniesta scoring the winning goal was fantastic, but didn't have the best season for Barcelona that year in terms of his plethora of great seasons by his own majestic standards. But yeah, the storyline around playing so soon after the death of his childhood friend, Dani Jarque, and scoring the winning goal and revealing that T-shirt, etc. Yeah. It was a magical moment, and yeah, it should be respective. But for me, it probably had to be Schneider, to be totally honest. And I think Diego Forlan had a great shout as well, to be honest. Was phenomenal during that Europa League campaign with Atletico Madrid. Man of the match and two goals in the final. Won the World Cup Golden Ball. He was the World Cup joint top scorer, I believe, alongside Thomas Müller. Super Cup winner as well.
Oof.
And yeah, for performing on the biggest stage and really delivering in a tournament is Diego Forlan. But across an entire season, which I think it really should be taken into account of, who was the best that year? I think Wesley Schneider totally deserves the Ballon d'Or for that year. So I wouldn't even have Iniesta or Xavi in my top three.
Wow. Okay. Well, there we go. I mean, Xavi had a pretty good season. Scored 13 assists in La Liga. But obviously, part of that Spanish side as well. But I agree with you. Wesley Schneider. Forlan, though, he mastered the art of the Jabulani free kick at that World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah.
Scored in the opening.
And that volley. Amazing volley. I can't remember who was that against. Was it Germany?
Yeah, that third place playoff was absolutely ridiculous, wasn't it, between Uruguay and Germany, I seem to remember.
That Uruguay side were incredible. They were so much fun. But yeah, so are we agreeing on Schneider then by a 2-1 majority?
Yeah, I'll let you take that. I just
there we go. Down with McCubbin.
He came fourth in the ranks that year, but first in ours. Well done, Wesley Schneider.
That's the true tournament.
the 2010 winner. Let us know in the comments if you disagree, if we're missing out on any crucial points.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Right, here we go. Back into 2011, we're back into sort of Xavi Iniesta territory. Barcelona win La Liga and the Champions League. Iniesta scores 8 times in La Liga, that's his best return. Xavi's named the second best player in Europe by UEFA. For context, Xavi came third in the ranks this year. Iniesta fourth. Wayne Rooney came in fifth. I'm quite surprised to see that, actually. I had a look at his goal return, it wasn't particularly prolific. But, you know, United did reach the Champions League final that year. And then Luis Suarez comes in sixth place there. That's his first entry into this list. We'll see his name a little more. Dukes, is this Xavi's year, would you say?
Yeah, I'm happy with either of them, to be honest. Xavi or Iniesta. I mean, that team, that performance in that Champions League final against Man United, I thought it was so, so dominant. It was one of my favourite ever Champions League finals, to be totally honest. Mainly because of the quality of play and also the quality of goals as well. Like, Rooney scored a worldie, no one ever really remembers that. David Villa's goal was brilliant. Messi's opener as well. Like, that, it was just such a good game. And it was just so fascinating to see, you know, a United side that had really dominated, well, over the last 4 or 5 years, they've been very, very good in England. You know, Chelsea got that double win in 2009-10. But they had been, you know, top of their game for so long. And they were ruined by that Barcelona side. Like, the gulf was enormous. And Xavi and Iniesta were absolutely spellbinding throughout that whole tournament. And that was kind of peak Guardiola for me. So, yeah, I'm happy with either of them. I think I've already suggested Xavi for a win. So I'm going to go with Iniesta this year.
Yeah, I know. That David Villa goal where he just takes it out of his feet and curls it top corner.
So nice.
So good. McCubbin, any more debate on this? Because I feel like Xavi got 3% more of the vote than Iniesta this season.
Yeah. I mean, Messi absolutely took it, didn't he? 48%. Luis Suarez, sixth place on 1.5%. It's pretty mad. I actually think, yeah, Rooney probably should have featured higher in 2010 because that was when he scored
that was like his
28
amazing
goals
game, yeah.
in the league, wasn't it? Obviously, Man United didn't do it in the Champions League, got knocked out in the quarterfinals. But so, yeah, I guess it's probably, yeah, you know, leading them to a Premier League title and a Champions League final in 2011 that kind of got him so high. But actually, I think David Villa, where is he in the top six, man? First season at Barcelona, had been brilliant. I mean, I don't know. David Villa, I think, just highly underrated career in general. I think he's an all-time great. I would have liked to seen him here. And maybe his... I don't know, maybe his overall impact on the team wasn't as big as Xavi's and Iniesta's continue to be, but I don't have his kind of goal and assist numbers up, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure he had a very impressive first season at Barcelona. I think it was his only real season at Barca where he was, you know, fully fit the whole time and firing the whole time. So I'm really surprised that he's not in the top six. But I probably don't have the stats available to me to properly argue whether he would be ahead of Xavi or Iniesta. But
I can tell you he scored 18 in La Liga, then 23 in all competitions.
Which is
obviously a great return, but difficult. When you've got Iniesta and Xavi sort of like on the pedestal that they are at this point in their careers, I don't think that's enough to really justify knocking them off. But I completely agree with you. What an underrated player. Only really retired in sort of 2019, sort of crushing it in Japan. So yeah, but maybe I'm going to go for Xavi on this one just because I don't think he's going to win awards otherwise.
Anymore. Do we not go for Xavi in 2009? I'll go Iniesta again, I think.
All right. Doogie?
Yeah.
Did I go? Who did I say? I think I said Iniesta, so I'm going Iniesta.
Iniesta it is for 2011. And then 2012, it's roughly the same debate all over again. Because Messi, once again, takes it fairly comfortably, 41%. Ronaldo on around 23.5%. Iniesta gets 10.9%. Then Xavi. We've got Falcao in here, Iker Casillas. And then seventh, Andrea Pirlo. And this, I think, for me, is more of the contentious point. Like how Pirlo ends up in seventh place in this list. Obviously, Spain win the Euros, the second tournament running. Pirlo, though, he wins Serie A.
Third tournament running.
The Euros.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah.
But yes, you're right. They are. You know, this is the most dominant national side I think we'll probably see, certainly in our sort of near lifetime at the moment. But Pirlo wins Serie A with Juve. This is the year where he's sort of been discarded by AC Milan, picked up by Juve. He's voted the best midfielder in Serie A, most assists with 13, helps Italy to the Euros final. He's in the team of the tournament, scores the all-time great penalty against Joe Hart. I mean, is it for him to feature below Falcao, below Iker Casillas? Do you think that's unfair, Doogie?
I think this was around the time that people, the wider sort of European public, started really giving the credit that Pirlo deserved for quite a long time. I think during his time at AC Milan, he'd been, you know, outshone by the likes of Kaká, Inzaghi, you know, Seedorf had probably got more credit than him, you know, Maldini, Nesta. But between 2012 and about 2016, Pirlo was probably the outstanding holding midfielder in Europe by quite a distance, maybe alongside Busquets. So yeah, I think he definitely deserved to be higher up in a load of Ballon d'Ors, to be totally honest. I think he probably never got the credit he deserved because he didn't really have that sort of blockbuster style of play. It wasn't 30-yarders. It wasn't, you know, those ranging runs we'd seen from Steven Gerrard and Lampard and Kaká over the previous decade. But Pirlo, in terms of, you know, retaining possession, making sure his team played in the right parts of the pitch and keeping pressure on an opponent, was one of the best exponents of midfield play we've ever seen, or at least this century, in Europe. So, yeah, I think Pirlo was slightly unfortunate this year for sure.
Interestingly, he came fifth in 2007 and ninth in 2006. So, five-year wait. What a renaissance he had this season. I feel like he probably deserved a little bit more. But, I mean, McCubbin, can you look past Iniesta, really, for this one? Probably not.
Potentially not. I don't know. I would have loved to have seen Pirlo win it this year. Like, it was a big year for him. Like, 2006, he won a World Cup. 2007, he won the Champions League. But I don't know. That was a really special year for Juve under Antonio Conte in his first season. You know, he got 13 assists, which is amazing from the base of midfield. For a player who was kind of aging, you know, he must have been, 32, 33 by that point. Just unreal. I think there were some pretty memorable free kicks in there as well. Obviously, was amazing at the Euros. And Juve went unbeaten. Like, they won the league unbeaten, having, like, finished seventh or whatever the year before. Like it was a huge, huge achievement. And I don't know. I'm gonna vote for him on this one. Maybe it's just kind of rose-tinted glasses.
Love it.
But, like, in terms of what... Okay, Iniesta was amazing that year, but Barca went out in the Champions League semis. They lost. They didn't win La Liga. And maybe I'm sounding a bit too kind of, you know, trophy oriented here, but I think considering the dominance of Barca over these years and whatnot, I think you have to recognise some other achievements as well, because I think Juve were superb in 2012, and Pirlo was the man. I'm backing him.
All right, me too. Pirlo it
yes.
is.
Yes.
Pirlo for the win.
Out of nowhere. What an outsider. Takes the 2012. Well on tour. All right. We have to speed through a few of these. But the next one I love. A real bit of a shift up this one. Really close. 2013. Ronaldo gets it at 28%. Messi on 20, or just under 25%. But Ribery, Franck Ribery, coming in at around 23.4%. This is an incredible sort of season for Ribery. It's the second season straight that he's hit 24 goal involvements. Bayern win the UCL, the Champions League, and the treble, obviously beating Dortmund in that final. People might say, well, where's Iron Robin? He came in eighth, but he only played 16 times in the Bully. This is when he was either injured or incredible. There was no kind of middle ground, really, was there? I mean, 5 goals and 5 assists and 16 appearances in the Bully that season is pretty stunning from a winger. Zlatan hits 30 and 34 for PSG. Van Persie, this is when he had, I mean, McCubbin, you'll remember it better than me, he hits 26 and 38 for United, so they win the Premier League. Probably one of Sir Alex Ferguson's all-time great transfers. But then, I mean, also ninth place for Gareth Bale. Okay,
he's got to be higher, man.
He has to be higher. He simply has to be higher. He wins the PFA Players Player and the Premier League Player of the Year. He earns his world record move, and he scored 21 times for Spurs. I mean, obviously what Ribery did was incredible, but I'm amazed that Gareth Bale isn't even in the top five in this situation. He was, by country mile, sort of the best player in the Premier League that season. I mean, do you share my frustrations on this one?
Yeah, I do. I think he probably should have been a little bit higher. I'm quite surprised to see Neymar in fifth. I don't think he'd really become the player he was to become at Barcelona just quite yet. And he spent half that year at Santos, I believe, anyway. So I'm pretty surprised to see him in fifth. Zlatan, you know, phenomenal numbers at PSG, but, you know, not really making a dent in any major competitions that year. So yeah, Bale could have been definitely a bit higher, but I think this is Ribery's definitely. Like, look at the gap in percentage of vote. Like, he got over 23%. Next best Zlatan was over 5%. So he was clearly that next best player in the world, aside from the aliens of Ronaldo and Messi at this time. So yeah, Bayern, treble winners, Ribery, you know, the key player in that side, I would argue, in an incredible Jupp Heynckes side, actually. I think they weren't quite as good as Hansi Flick's treble winners, but I think they would have run them really close. And Ribery was, I think, the best player in that side that season. So, yeah, Ribery for me all the way.
I agree with you about Ribery, but I disagree. I feel like Heynckes Bayern would have beat them. I don't know, there was something so mechanical about them. They were unbelievable. They got, you know, probably didn't deserve to lose to Chelsea, did they? Let's face it, in the Champions.
Absolutely not.
I'm giving it to Ribery, but I think Bale comes second in a world where Ronaldo and Messi don't exist. Cubs, we can't. Do you agree with Ribery on this one?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's. I think that Bayern team were incredibly well rounded. I mean, I'm just amazed that we have Philipp Lahm in the top nine. I mean, I don't know. Was he injured for part of that season? I feel like not. Like, I feel like I can't remember what. I think they got over 90 points in the Bundesliga that year. And I think they only conceded like 18 goals. So how Manuel Neuer isn't in the top 10 is absolutely criminal. Like, I think he ends up in that World Cup year scoring quite highly, but he has to be in the top five as well for me, Manuel Neuer. Like, he was by far the best keeper in the world that season. He was kind of redefining the position as it was at the time. Basically wasn't letting anything in. Like, he kept two clean sheets, didn't he, against Barcelona in the Champions League semi-final. So he has to be in there. I don't know how Lahm's not. I think more Bayern players should be in that top 10. Like, especially, like you said, Arjen Robben didn't feature a whole lot that season. I'm amazed that, you know, the likes of Lahm and Schweinsteiger aren't featuring in that top 10. But I'll let you guys take it with Ribery. I think he probably was the outstanding kind of attacking player aside from Ronaldo and Messi that year.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, McCubbin, your frustrations are sort of relieved in 2014 because this is when we see Neuer come third, Robin fourth, Thomas Müller fifth, Philipp Lahm in sixth. And then we see sort of Neymar bumped down. James Rodriguez in the most kind of World Cup entry I've ever seen pops up in eighth. So the golden boy. I will say, though, I was at the Colombia-Japan game where he flicked it over the goalkeeper.
Really?
It's one of the greatest goals I've ever seen. Wow. Yeah, it was so good. In a random city in Brazil. For me, absolutely no contest. Manuel Neuer. I think he was unlucky not to win it, frankly. I don't know how Ronaldo ran away with 37.6%. I'm sure he scored some stupid number of goals.
I mean, he won the La Decima as well, didn't he? Let's remember, like, Real Madrid won La Decima that season.
That's a very good point. However,
might be the year he got a ridiculous amount of goals in the Champions League as well. But
I think that might have been his like 17 goal one or whatever it was. Yeah.
I remember this being distinctly like the year of just the bubbling frustration with what does anyone else have to do in order to get the recognition they deserve, particularly if you're not a striker like Neuer. He was unbelievable. 81.8% save rates in the Bundesliga that season. 15 clean sheets. Wins the World Cup. He's named German Footballer of the Year. I don't really know what else he could do. Robin, 11 goals, 6 assists. I mean, other than Neuer, is there anyone else you really think could have deserved to be ahead of him on this one?
Well, Philipp Lahm had a great World Cup that year. So did Thomas Müller, as he always did in those early World Cups for him. But no, I think it's Neuer. I don't think we'd seen a keeper like him, really, that I could remember. And I think he completely sort of reinvented modern goalkeeping with his technical ability, his comfort coming outside of the box. You know, he in the last 3 or 4 years, particularly about 2 years ago, he started becoming quite rash and would often be found in weird places, not least at the 2018 World Cup. But at this time, his decision-making was always on point. He was brilliant with the ball at his feet, and he made some phenomenal saves as well. People always underestimate Manuel Neuer's ability as a shot stopper as well. And this was him at the top of his game, and I think he deserved the Ballon d'Or if Ronaldo particularly didn't exist this year.
He's the best goalkeeper of the last 10 years, over the last decade. He, without a shadow of the doubt. I mean, obviously, Alisson.
Yeah, probably.
What a player. McCubbin, we'll scoot on a little bit because we're sort of running out of time on all of this. 2015, this is the Luis Enrique Barcelona years. Neymar's coming third here. Lewandowski fourth. Well, I'm not really sure. Then Luis Suarez. In my opinion, Luis Suarez. Oh no, it's the year afterwards that it was a bit unfortunate. Is this Neymar's year, do you think, in the absence
of going other than Ronaldo, Messi potentially? He was superb, wasn't he? MSN winning the treble. I don't think you can look past the Barcelona player this season. I think Lewandowski might have got in there kind of on the basis of his 5 goals in 10 minutes against Wolfsburg. I feel like that in 2015.
Wow.
and no doubt he had an amazing year in general. But yeah, I think 10 goals in the Champions League is no mean feat for a player who is not the main man at Barcelona. Top scorer in the Copa del Rey as well. I think Neymar has to take it. I think just in general, this is the year where he really came into his own and really... really, really showed that it's not really too long until Neymar was kind of almost getting to Messi's level at Barca. I think it would take another year or so, but this is where he was really clicking into gear. I'm surprised the player like even Rakitic isn't high. Van Rakitic go there in that year?
Yeah,
he was really impressive, wasn't he, in the Champions League, particularly in the final. So it would be nice to have seen him a bit higher up, potentially. But I think Neymar takes it.
Doogie, happy with that?
Yeah, I got no issues with that. Should we move on to 2016?
Well done, Neymar. Yeah, this is an interesting one. Jamie Vardy comes in at 8th. Come on, Vardy. love that. Him and Mahrez as well. Criminal that Vardy wasn't higher than eighth. But yeah, I mean, for me, off the bat, so Griezmann came third, Suarez came fourth. I know Griezmann was incredible, but like, Suarez put in one of the most amazing seasons as a striker. He scored 40 in La Liga to win the Pichichi, which in the era of Messi is semi-impossible. He wins La Liga, Copa del Rey double. He gets 59 goals in all competitions, only comes in fourth. Obviously, you know, quarterfinals knockout in the Champions League wasn't particularly great. But Doogie, is there an argument for Griezmann over Suarez, or am I blinded by goal numbers?
No, I think I'm with you on Suarez. I think if 2016 was 2021, you know, imagine that, and that year had happened this year is what I mean. Griezmann would definitely win it because his team reached the Champions League final that year in 2016. He also performed so well at the Euros. He scored 4 in that tournament. He played really well in La Liga as well. He got 22 goals and 5 assists. He was named La Liga Fans Player of the Year. He was in the UEFA Team of the Year, Best Champions League Squad, and French Footballer of the Year. So Griezmann would now win it, if that makes sense. But I'm perfectly happy with Suarez winning it for that year because his level of individual performance, although it wasn't probably matched with the same trophy level as Griezmann, was just out of this world that year. I thought Suarez was phenomenal. And I'm pretty happy with every member of MSN being honoured with a Ballon d'Or for that few-year period. So, yeah, I'd definitely be on board with Suarez.
McCubbin, you like trophies.
I mean, he won the league.
You make him sound like a magpie.
He still won a league and cup double. It's not like they didn't win anything. He still won more than Griezmann. Yeah, like, sheer goal numbers, man. Like, he's the only one out of, you know, aside from Ronaldo and Messi to do it, isn't he? To really, you know, to beat them. In their era, I think he takes it by distance.
So Suarez takes it for 2016. If we look into 2017, that great Champions League final where Madrid beat Juventus 4-1 in Cardiff, Gareth Bale not even starting in that match. We've got Neymar coming in third here. Ronaldo pretty conclusively took this one, by the way, I should say. But then Neymar came in third, followed by Buffon in fourth place. Modric, this is where we start seeing him a bit more consistently on the list, in fifth. I would say maybe Modric is the one that, in this instance, this is where he maybe deserved more of like a look in for the title here. Or maybe Ramos in sixth, like Sergio Ramos, if we're looking at sort of impact over the last few years. Doogie, where do you stand on this one? Was it Neymar's year, or did someone like Ramos deserve a bit more recognition?
I think Ramos definitely deserved a bit more recognition, for sure. I think it had gone from, you know, between 2014 and 2018, he obviously won, what, 4 Champions Leagues in that time? Just an incredible run. And he was the sort of beating heart of it, the leader, popping up with crucial goals at crucial times in the Champions League as well, in the league as well. But yeah, I think in this year it's probably Neymar again. He started his time at PSG so well, and had a great season the season prior with Barcelona as well, earning that massive move. But yeah, I think Ramos was a little bit unlucky to only finish sixth, and it's one of the only times we've mentioned him in this entire list, which is surprising given he's probably been the outstanding centre back of the last 12 years or so.
Yeah, he scored 7 that year for Real Madrid, which is pretty bonkers once again. Like, some of his best tackle and interception numbers as well. I agree with you, it's hard to look past Neymar. But in terms of Buffon, McCubbin, do you think this was... Is he there for the right reasons, or was he genuinely sort of the fourth best player in the world in 2017?
I don't know. I mean, he was 39 years old and he won Serie A Player of the Year. Yeah. Which may have been more ceremonial than anything. I'm kind of thinking kind of Ryan Giggs in 2009 kind of vibes, but he was probably the best keeper in the world that year, potentially, maybe not actually, because De Gea and Neuer were also brilliant. But I think I do remember him being particularly good, putting in some particularly good performances in the Champions League. I was surprised that like someone like Bonucci isn't higher up, because that Juve defence was excellent on that Champions League run, and Bonucci, I think, was probably the best ball-playing centre-back in Europe at the time. Him, Barzagli and Chiellini were ferocious, and just, you know, despite even ageing at that point, were superb. I think actually from Real Madrid's perspective, I'm surprised Marcelo's not higher up. He was amazing on that Champions League run as well. Him and Ronaldo linked up so well. And I think, yeah, Modric, maybe this is the year that he should have won it rather than 2018 in some ways. I thought he was, yeah, he was brilliant. I don't know. I'm not surprised with Neymar, man. He only got 13 goals in the league. And he was amazing for PSG. No, sorry, not for PSG, against PSG in that 6-1, the Real Montada. That's one of the best individual performances I've ever seen from a player.
That is true.
But I mean, Neymar's going to take, because you two have said it. I wouldn't have voted for Neymar. I think I would have gone for Modric I would have gone for one of Modric, Ramos or Marcelo, I think.
Oof. It's interesting. Philipp Lahm is literally the only fullback we've mentioned in this entire time. He's the only fullback that's even made kind of considerations in this one. All right, it's a reluctant victory for Neymar.
Dani Alves was also amazing for Juve that year as well, I seem to remember. That is very true. He really came into vogue at the age of 34.
All right, well, 2018, we won't have time to discuss it, but Modric wins. Hooray, hooray for football. Someone else has taken the trophy. Doogie, I've got you see written down here, arguably should have been Griezmann. He was incredible that season. Scored 29 goals in all competitions for Atletico. Won the Europa League, Super Cup and World Cup. And Modric, yeah, his Croatia side overachieved. They just came through penalties, didn't they? But I mean, they did beat England.
And a very weak side of the draw. I say that, I mean, it would have been England, you know, going through a weak side of the draw as well to reach that final if we made it. But I thought that was a bit silly, to be honest, Modric winning it then.
We did deliberately lose to Belgium in order to get into that side of the draw as well. So can't complain too highly there. All right, 2019 quickly. Virgil van Dijk actually finishes above Ronaldo in this year. We've got Mane in fourth, Salah in fifth, Mbappe sixth, Alisson seventh. For me, it's like a no contest with van Dijk. I just think as a defender, he really set a new precedent for what can be expected of a centre-half. He was just so good this year. I remember being... I mean, he only lost by 7 votes to Messi. Which really makes me sad. Is there any complaints for this one, Dukes, or was it Van Dijk's year?
No, Van Dijk was phenomenal this year. To be totally honest, I thought he was brilliant. I think it was one of the harshest non-victories in this whole list. To be honest, Mane also was brilliant. 26 goals in all competitions for Liverpool. They obviously win the Champions League as well. He was African Footballer of the Year. A Super Cup winner, Club World Cup winner, but Van Dijk won all these as well, except for African Footballer of the Year as well. Mane also shared the Golden Boot that year with Salah, but I think even Liverpool fans would say that year that their best player by a distance was Virgil van Dijk, and they won the Champions League, and he was performing at a level we probably haven't seen from a centre-back for quite a while. So, yeah, I thought it was van Dijk, really.
I mean, McCubbin, this up with maybe the Schneider one is one of the sort of two or three examples on this list of where the player should have won with Ronaldo and Messi existing. I mean, do you agree with that?
Potentially. I don't know. I think there's other shouts as well, though. Like Kylian Mbappe, I think, really came into his own that year. He only finished sixth. Raheem Sterling, I think, was arguably the best player in the Premier League that year. And he's not even featured in the top seven. Like, I don't know. I think there are a number of players who... I don't know. I don't think it's as clear with Van Dijk, aside from the Champions League win. He was amazing, the best defender in the world, no doubt. But I think, like, when you're looking at kind of, you know, individual performances within competitions, like Sterling was at his very, very best, and Man City were at their very, very best as well. And yet none of their players made the top seven, which is madness. Kylian Mbappe was beginning to look more and more like, you know, the third/second best player in the world at that point. So, I think 2019, I think it could have gone in a number of directions. I don't think it's as clear for Van Dijk as, for me at least, as you guys think.
All right. One name, McCubbin. Who would it be?
Mbappe.
Ooh, I'll say Mbappe. Doogie, McCubbin? McCubbin, Van Dijk.
Yeah, I'm going Van Dijk. I'm not voting for McCubbin in 2019.
Oh, mate,
it's not how much he'd love it, because he loves trophies.
You were very good that year, McCubbin, must be said.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going for Van Dijk as well. All right, quickly, 2020, the great Lewandowski robbery. 2021, We haven't got loads of time on this. McCubbin, who would take it for you in 2021?
Like I said, Jorginho. I'm going for Jorginho just for the lulz.
That's really wound me up.
On a serious note, I don't know. Like who's been
Lewandowski. Lewandowski.
Yeah, Lewandowski probably. Or Haaland maybe. I'll on a serious note, probably Lewandowski again. Lewandowski probably should have been in the reckoning in 2019 as well, thinking about it. He was already kind of coming into that form. I think Lewandowski, to be fair.
Dukes?
Yeah, he's just the best striker in the world, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's the least contentious, to be honest. I think Messi obviously winning that Copa America and playing so well in that tournament, but he started the season really poorly with Barcelona, and he hasn't started the new campaign with PSG particularly well, although I'm not, you know, blaming him for that. He's obviously adapting to a new country, coach, players, etc., and maybe not being the complete fulcrum of a side like he was at Barcelona. So I think it's just the safest bet for this year, because he so deserved it in 2020. Broke Gerd Müller's scoring record. It's just Robert Lewandowski.
Well, we know Messi is favourite to win it again. So let's wait and see what happens there. All right, that's about it. We've rattled through the years. I hope everyone else at home has enjoyed this trip down memory lane. I don't think we've got any time to push to anything. So I'm just going to say thanks very much to Doogie and McCubbin. Let us know in the comments if you agree with our suggestions. Let us know where you'd have changed. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.